Many newspapers have called it the greatest club game ever. The strength of Munster rugby has always been the big boys up front.
I'm actually really, really excited for it.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the rugby channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
The News Run on Off the Ball with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors. This is News Talk.
You're welcome along. Tuesday evening's Off the Ball. Joe Malloy with you. So Marcel Jacobs, a name we wouldn't have been too familiar with at the start of the year. I think it's fair to say at the end of the year, he's the 100 metres Olympic champion. He came from absolutely nowhere. He has disappeared just as quickly. Matt Lawton of the Sunday Times tried to track him down over in Rome. We're going to chat to Matt this hour. After 8 o'clock, Kevin McMenamin, huge figure in Dublin GAA. He retires after 12 years with just the 8 All-Ireland medals to his name. So we're speaking to him after 8 o'clock. Always really thoughtful, intelligent fella. Gerry Thornley, also after 8 as well. Every day at the moment, it feels like there are big rugby stories. Johan van Graan is stepping away from Munster at the end of the season, was today's news. And on the football show, there is Premier League action this evening, but Damien Delaney is with us after 9. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richard McCormick, hello to you.
Hey, Joe.
Nathan Murphy, hello.
Hey, Joe.
A lot going on, Nathan. And I mean, I know we would both like to talk about Tiger Woods' return to a golf course this weekend, but that will have to wait. That's obviously the big news story at the moment, but there are other things going on. It does feel very busy just now in the world of sport, does it not?
If only we had a golf podcast where we could dedicate a full hour to Tiger Woods and his son Charlie and how they get on in the father and son invitation against Potter Carrington and his son Paddy. So yeah, not the biggest story of the week, it turns out.
Well, it will be. Give it time. It will be come Saturday evening. Lads, nothing against Johan van Graan. An early text in from Graham in Limerick. Well, I've sort of given it away by saying nothing against van Graan, decent fella. Seemed like a very hard worker, but his time had come to a natural end. There was no real sense of progress for too long now. The only surprise was Munster had offered him 2 more years. Very best to look to him in Bath, says Graham in Limerick. Thoughts, Nathan?
In a way, it didn't feel overly surprising when this news came through. Obviously, they were discussing a new 2-year contract, and for a while, it seemed as though those discussions were going well. Johan van Graan seems to have had a change of heart, maybe the approach from Bath and the money involved in that turned his head, but it just seems a constant conveyor belt at Munster for years at this stage around head coaches, backroom staff, and it's just hampering any sort of ability to get some stability and to get some momentum going. And every time they get one step forward, it feels like there's 2 steps back. And I'm interested in how Munster fans feel about Johan van Graan, because he hasn't brought home any silverware. It does feel every time they're on the verge of something, there's been a setback, there's been an injury at the wrong time. Joey Carberry, even today, we see with yet another injury. And I don't know, the culture of Munster has clearly changed dramatically over the last few years. And I think the reaction to the Wasps game at the weekend was interesting, because there are obviously a lot of caveats to that performance in that Wasps were also struggling and their COVID issues came later. But it felt like there was a real pride amongst Munster people that this was the Munster Academy. These were Munster lads. These were players who should be getting their chance and maybe whose path has been blocked at times by imports from South Africa and Munster going a different way. And they just need to get back to sort of building a character and a culture around the club that connects with the local community. And it feels like that's been lost. And I don't think you can put all that on Johan van Graan, but it doesn't really feel like there's been, I don't think his departure will be mourned too much.
No, I wouldn't think so either. It's clearly a difficult job. I mean, look at the success of Razzie Erasmus post Munster, and Bruce Craig and Bath clearly think Johan van Graan's done a very good job, but they wouldn't be trying to lure him away. But I agree, I don't think Munster fans will be heartbroken. It's tough to judge someone on no trophies, but no trophies is a fact. Increasingly, it has felt in the last 18 months or 2 years that there's been a recognition that the van Graan South African style of play has not been working and they need to evolve that. And we've seen Larkham come in and go. And yet in the midst of that, you know that really it's not van Graan's natural leaning. And so the only way to really evolve and to really move things on is to get in a new head coach who really wants to play that way and play the game that way and do things that way. And so maybe it's best for all concerned. Bath is a lovely job, by the way. So really well funded, great facilities, beautiful town, very rich owner, very rich sponsor in James Dyson. He of Dyson fame, and they're 0-9 at the moment. They're having a terrible season. I mean, what better time to swan in there, and you won't have to do very much to bring about improvement. So I can see how it's an attractive offer for Van Graan, and maybe it's best all round. Munster had offered him a 2-year deal.
Mm. These things are obviously going to leak out, so I presume they had no choice but to announce it now. Yeah. But there's still a long way to go this season, and if results turn, it just feels... We've seen it in any amount of sports where you're a lame duck manager. Is it an ideal scenario? There's going to be so much speculation around this, and it's probably never helped Johan van Graan that so many of Munster's greatest ever players have started to go down the coaching route. And Ronan O'Gara is there, and Paul O'Connell's there, and Gerry Flannery is there, and even Felix Jones has gone off and done wondrous things in South Africa. There's no shortage of homegrown contenders to possibly go back.
Which of them would take it, though? So. Which of them would take it? O'Gara wouldn't. I'd be certain. O'Connell wouldn't. I'd be almost certain. Not as certain.
I'd be interested in O'Gara. He's obviously indicated that he doesn't have any intention of coming back right away. But like, the world has changed pretty dramatically over the last couple of years. And I wonder, would that have an impact on whether or not he would return home? If only there was a way we could ask him these things. Gerry Flannery was on the show a couple of weeks ago with Jer, and it was fascinating.
Very impressive.
Such an interesting guy, and is obviously going about his coaching career in a different way. And I wonder, would there be a role for him? Or maybe am I contradicting myself? Like, is that what Munster need? Do they need one of the old guys, or do they need the best coaching talent who's possibly available in the world right now?
Mm. We should start the news round. It is, as ever, with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors. Richie, you're starting with the Munster news. So Ian Flanagan's been talking, their CEO.
Yeah, the CEO says there's already work ongoing with the IRFU to identify suitable replacements for both Johan van Graan and outgoing attack coach Stephen Larcombe. Speaking on the Red 78 podcast, former Munster back row Alan Quinlan explained why he thinks it might be an external influence of the fans' expectations that has informed van Graan's decision to move on.
There's this expectation and pressure with Munster, and I have a feeling that Johan hasn't felt the love from outside the group. I think from what I hear internally, the players, he's very popular with the players. There's a good morale, even though they've had to take a lot of ups and downs in the last couple of years. Maybe it's outside, the outside influence and what Johan himself is feeling has made this decision. The Munster fans are renowned for being wonderful fans and brilliant supporters of his team, going right back to my time. But they're pretty demanding as well and impatient, I think, and that impatience has increased in the last number of years.
Yeah, I'd say it has as well. They've continually hit the ceiling in Europe. And then I think the Pro 16 defeated the RDS to Leinster in March of this year, where it was men against boys and they were completely outclassed. I think that was a real momentum killer. You know, that was it was laid bare. The extent to which the gap had not been closed between the two sides. So I think Quinny's onto something there as well. Owen has texted, hopefully Bath won't hoover up all the new young Munster prospects. Come on.
See, you need to mention the Dyson thing.
I did mention the Dyson thing. I said James Dyson just a minute ago.
I know, but you need...
Like, I thought you just said Rich Owner. You never mentioned Dyson.
I did say Dyson. Yeah.
No, he did. No, he did mention Dyson. But just mentioning Bath in isolation, the joke doesn't work. But, you know, I don't want to...
Have you got a Dyson, Joe?
Plug hole there, Joe. Blame me, Owen. I do, actually.
One of the fancy ones. I was only in the shop yesterday and I'd never properly looked at them. Oh. They're about 750 quid.
Yeah, no, they're dear. They are dear. It was a wedding gift.
Hey, but was it, yeah?
Much valued. I mean, wouldn't have spent the money myself, but they're bloody great.
It's not the greatest radio, Joe, but what's the difference between a Dyson and a regular Hoover?
Oh, I mean, it really isn't the greatest radio ever. Well, for a start, never having to plug the thing in is a joy. Do you know what I mean? You just pick it up, off you go. That's very handy.
You don't have to charge it at some stage?
Yeah, occasionally.
So you do plug it in?
But not each time you use it. You know what I mean? That's the real joke. You just scoot around the kitchen with the Dyson without having to go and get the wire and plug it in. And then, you know, when you're trying to wind the wire back into a bloody Hoover, I mean, life's too short.
Well, now you can get the ones, can't you?
Not have an automatic recoil.
Around the room by themselves. Yeah.
The automatic recoil never seemed to work. You know what I mean? You'd step on the thing and it would work for the first... 7, 8, 9, 10 inches. There'd be a kink in the thing and you're having to walk off. You know what I'm saying?
Nightmare scenario.
Listen, this is award-winning radio here and Off the Ball. Stay with us. More conversation like this to come. Is Rog coming home, Gavin and Kilkenny? Well, I don't think... I'd be shocked. Now, I'd be happily shocked because it'd be box office. But I would be shocked if Roger was coming home this time around. And then Van Gran was taking the show nowhere. If all I need to be a head coach is tell a team of internationals to boot the ball up in the air and chase it, then I'll throw my name into the hat, says Pat. See, that is the, I would say, not uncommon, but probably uncharitable view of what Van Gran has done there. So, Munster fans, you can text in 53106. Jerry Thornley is going to be on the way after 8. By the way, just to reiterate our half seven story, it's a bit different. We talk a lot about the usual suspects, Manchester United, Irish rugby and so on the show. But a story we thought well worth covering as the year comes to a close is that of Marcel Jacobs, who, if you, at the start of the year, had said to anybody in athletics who was going to win the men's 100 metres Olympic title, nobody would have said the name Marcel Jacobs. Italian mother and El Paso-born father. He represents Italy and he won the Olympic final in 9.80 seconds. He had never broken 10 seconds before this year. He wasn't even on the Athletics Integrity Unit testing pool. He was seen as such a rank outsider and he's come from nowhere and he's won the Olympic final and disappeared just as quickly. Hasn't taken part in any of the Diamond League meetings. And Matt Lawton of the Sunday Times tried to track him down, wrote a great piece about it. There are also links with Giacomo Spazzini, who's been investigated for the use of, he's a nutritionist, use of drugs to alter athletic performance in what the Italian police are calling Operation Muscle Bound. Not the most subtle of operation titles, but I like it. Does what it says in the tin.
Maybe they're just big Spandau Ballet fans.
Yeah, indeed. So it's an extraordinary story and the Olympic world champion is one of those marquee titles, you know, akin to heavyweight champion of the world, which is just a real blue ribbon event and it's an extraordinary situation. He is, by all accounts, going to compete again in Berlin in February ahead of the world championships over the summer. It'd be interesting to see what reception he gets. Obviously, he denies any wrongdoing whatsoever. He was a long jumper before 2019, so he's just turned his hand to sprinting. Turns out he's bloody good at it.
It is a sign of how far from grace the 100 metres has fallen that if you were to ask in an end of season quiz who won the 100 metres at this year's Olympics, I'd say an awful lot of people would struggle to remember the name Marcel Jacobs.
Yeah. Well, we were just saying for our, you know, even things like putting up the YouTube version of it, we were just chatting on Teams and saying, probably just need to call him Olympic champion as opposed to Marcel Jacobs to, you know, for people to know what this is about. Because, yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, if you said to people, Marcel Jacobs, I don't think the majority would be able to say, oh, yeah, the Olympic champion. So that's on the way half seven with Matt Lawton, which should be a really good chat. Joey Carberry, Rich, so guy can't catch a break.
Yeah, Joey Carberry once again facing a lengthy spell on the sidelines. Munster confirmed today that the out-half requires surgery on Thursday, having sustained a fractured elbow 7 minutes from the end of Sunday's win away to Wasps. No time frame has been placed on his recovery, but as you might imagine, with an injury of that nature, he's likely to be in a race to be fit for Ireland's Six Nations campaign.
Yeah, really desperate. Look, it was interesting on Monday Night Rugby. We asked Nathan Gordon-Darcy, overall takeaway from the Munster performance, and he said, Joey Carberry, he's back.
Not for long, eh? Not for long.
Terrible.
And now we're into the same situation. Race against time for the Six Nations. Does he get a couple of games towards the end? Do we need to back Harry Byrne? Do we need to back Ross Byrne? It's such a shame.
We should do a piece on the Irish out-half situation on the show sometime, don't you think?
I don't know. Did he need to start moving past Johnny Sexton? Surely he'll never make the World Cup, will he?
Yeah. Montpellier-Leinster, meanwhile.
Yeah, intriguing one this. Leinster and Montpellier confirming additional COVID-19 cases ahead of Friday's Heineken Champions Cup encounter in France. Leinster managed to return to training today, but the top 14 side are preparing in smaller groups, having confirmed a fifth case this morning. Montpellier say they'll conduct another round of testing tomorrow, but there's one side definitely seems more keen to play this game than the other.
And to be fair, without being cynical over anything, and genuinely not being cynical, there is obviously an advantage to being willing to play the game, because unlike Premier League where it's postponed and there's no Manchester United Brentford, for instance, this evening, Nathan, the side who can't fulfil the fixture in the Heineken Champions Cup because the schedule is so tight and there are no spare weekends, it won't be postponed. It will be a 28-0 defeat. So if you can avoid saying we can't play the game, it's of major benefit.
Well, the precedent has been set, and rather brilliantly, by Munster and what they did last weekend. And how far down into that academy can Leinster go if they need to get the players together to go and fulfill this game? Like, rugby's in a different position in that there's no wiggle room at all. There's no wiggle room at all for the Champions Cup to try and replay these fixtures. But this is going to be the dominant talking point on news rounds for the next month, 6 weeks, postponements. issues around players and vaccinations and Omicron and the rapid spread, and don't need to get into the science of how serious it is or not, but it's clear it's far more transmissible, which means there's going to be far more cases and players aren't going to be able to play if they're testing positive or if they're close contacts. So I think we're going to see a huge amount of Premier League games called off over the Christmas. It's hard to see how we won't, considering it feels like we're at the early stages of this, and there's one game off, there might be another one off over the next couple of days, and it's going to be a bit of a mess, because while football can sort of afford postponements, they've also packed that calendar pretty tightly as well, that teams are going to end up, like last season, playing three games in a week. So, yeah, there's no way around it. There's nobody at fault for any of this. But anything that means you don't have to give that walkover, I think, is probably the way forward.
Well, should the Leinster game go ahead on Friday, we have live commentary here on Off the Ball. Build-up from 7 o'clock. Kick-off is at 8. Naturally enough, all the listeners want to talk about our Dysons now. Chris, I would agree with Chris here in defence of the texter-own. He got it right there. If he had mentioned Dyson, then all the subtlety would have been gone. See, I think that's the point. He had to just throw it out there. If you got the Hoover up line, you got it. If you didn't, move on. Owen doesn't need you in his life.
Sure.
I think so. Dysons, like Ronaldo, are a cod, says one time. He said, the battery lasts about 2 minutes. I can't be hoovering for 2 minutes. It's a 60-minute job. 6-0, says James. P.S.
Wow, how big is your house?
Indeed. Richie, can you do me a Power City deal, please?
I wish I could.
Join the queue. I'm begging Richie for a Power City deal. I found
around the block at this stage. Sir.
I found the battery life absolutely fine. Now
I'm just wondering, like, you still have to do the hoovering yourself, whereas there is these new ones that you just plug in and it has the motion sensor, so it moves around your floor.
Oh yeah,
and it just goes around all day and keeps everything perfectly clean. What are they can't be that much more expensive.
What are they going for?
I don't know, Richie. Are you they're pretty dear themselves.
No, I'm not. But they are. I've looked into them before because there's one in Parks and Recreation that had an iPod attached to it at the time that was called DJ Roomba, but they're pretty dear. Like, there's, yeah, I'm not going to say surprisingly dear, because it's a robot that goes around your house hoovering, for God's sake. It's like something out of Rocky IV. But yeah, they are pretty expensive.
If I had the choice between one of those, I don't mind hoovering. There's something kind of satisfying about it. And it only takes a couple, you only take 4 or 5 minutes to do, you know, kitchen and downstairs, run around with the Dyson. You don't have to do a perfect job. But I tell you what, one of those lawnmowers that does it by itself. Now, I'd have one of them, no problem.
My garden isn't big enough. Mate of mine has one, all right. They're massively impressive. Though, scared of living daylights out of any dogs around, I think. So, yeah. It's either puppy or portable lawnmower.
I don't have a dog. And I'm sick of doing that back garden. Or actually, I'm sick of looking out and saying, I really need to cut the grass in the back garden. That's my life at the moment. Although, you don't really need to do
global
it.
Global warming, Joe. Global warming. You shouldn't have had to do it for months, but still growing, eh?
It
sure is. It just gets better and better.
It sure is. Look, it's a hell of a show this evening, as you can tell. So, Joey Carberry, the football this evening is still going ahead-ish. We do have one very good game.
Yeah, we do. Potentially two. Who knows? Manchester City do have the chance to establish a 4-point lead at the top of the Premier League table tonight. Pep Guardiola side welcome Leeds to the Etihad. Kickoff there is at 8 p.m. Meanwhile, this is a 7:45 start at Carrow Road. Dean Smith coming up against his former side with Norwich entertaining Aston Villa. Tonight's other scheduled game, as you alluded to there, the meeting of Brentford and Manchester United, called off late last night due to COVID-19's outbreak among Ralph Rangnick's squad. Meanwhile, United say Victor Lindelof's breathing difficulties are not linked to the COVID outbreak at the club. The defender was replaced by Eric Bailly 16 minutes from the end of Saturday's win away to Norwich. United say Lindelof is undergoing a series of precautionary investigations to get to the root of that issue.
Okay. Meanwhile, interesting story at Arsenal.
Yeah, they've stripped Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang today of the captaincy following a disciplinary breach. The forward will miss tomorrow's Premier League game with West Ham as well, and was also dropped for Saturday's win against Southampton. Boss Mikel Arteta says he's made the decision to defend the interests of the football club and has yet to decide on a new skipper.
I think it's a really clear statement from the club. It's a decision that we have made following the incident, the last incident that we have with the player, and this is where we stand.
In terms of the effect of this decision on the dressing room, has there been any effect, would you say, or not?
Well, they accepted the decision, and I think they know, because they have committed to it and they have demanded that we want to take our culture, our demands, and who do we want to be as a club and how we want to represent this football club to a different level. And when those standards are not met, you know that you cannot participate in our daily basics.
Well, Nathan, thoughts on this? Very interesting.
Yeah, it is. On the one hand, it feels quite extreme. But then when he talks about the culture and what the club needs to be about, it's been a bit of a basket case for a good decade at this stage. And there's any amount of lists of Arsenal captains over the last decades and what has happened, from Granit Xhaka being booed off by his own fans and telling them where to go. Lauren Koscielny was captain and refused to go on a pre-season tour because he wanted to get out of the club. Robin van Persie doesn't sign a new deal, signs for Manchester United. William Gallas has a meltdown in the middle of the pitch at St. Andrews. And that's just the most recent group. Cesc Fabregas is in there as well. So we all look at Arsenal and think it's a squad that has lacked character and lacked leadership. And maybe Mikel Arteta, having been there now for over a year, has realised that, yeah, I need players who can step up at the right time. And Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is not that player. It's hard to see how he doesn't leave the club in January if they can get rid, considering the incredible wages that he is on, and like, his performances have been pretty shocking. But there is a bit of an obsession with the captaincy at Arsenal, and maybe because of all that's gone wrong. They had this rotation of five different captains as well at one stage. And
that was daft.
Yeah, it was crazy. But listen, Arteta is clearly deciding he needs to be a bit of a disciplinarian here, and it does seem a bit crazy, but they need something.
I think when you have a young dressing room, it's important as well to have that bit of discipline. It seems he had to go abroad to bring home his mother, who wasn't well. So, I mean, the reasons for going abroad were very fair. It's just the lateness on return was obviously a step too far. He does, Thomas Tuchel talked in May about Aubameyang and actually talked about him very fondly and of their time at Dortmund together, but did say he was late for everything. You know, if we wanted him there for 11, we had to say 10:45. And
look at that game last year where he turned up late for it because he was like stuck in traffic and stuff like that. You know, he just hadn't, his time management's all over the game. Like, he can't, like, whatever about him being a talented player, you just can't have that kind of stuff in a squad, particularly one of a kind of delicate nature that Arsenal's is. Like, the balance of that is thrown off if the slightest thing goes wrong. So you need to be, you need to have dependable characters.
Yeah.
And Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is not a dependable character, as talented a player as he is.
Doesn't seem so. Because, like, Tuchel was saying when he would arrive at training, he'd be apologetic and all really, really sorry and sprinting out with his laces open. And then once he was there, he was incredibly hardworking. So it wasn't, you know, a kind of a black or white situation. He's all good or he's all terrible. Like, he was good when he was there, but there was that flakiness, I suppose. And Arteta's obviously said enough is enough. I guess if he was scoring 20 goals this side of Christmas, Nathan, they might have tolerated a bit more. So it probably goes hand-in-hand.
Well, that's the other problem. His performances, really, since he signed the contract, and I know he had injury issues, COVID issues and things like that last season, but his form has just fallen off a cliff, that it looked like they were already looking at replacing them next summer anyways. But it is just the size of the wages that mean they might be stuck with him for now.
Fellas, we are out of time. The listeners hoovered up that content. My thanks to you both.
Two Hoover jokes and one user on joke.
I just basically stole Owen's joke and repackaged it terribly. Nathan Murphy, thank
tomorrow night, ironing.
Yeah. Nathan Murphy, thank you very much.
Thanks, lads.
Richie, thank you.
Nice one.